Well, there's nothing like the rush of experiencing the powerful waves crash one after the other along the beach shore. That's one of the reasons why my wife Mandy and I love going to the beach. I'm sure there's a lot of people, a lot of you guys are going to be going to the beach this summer. We love going there, not because it's just relaxing and the sun and all that stuff, but I am captivated every time I look at the waves. I study the waves, and I look and see how it's amazing how God seems to bring one after the other, and they never stop. And it kind of reminds me of his love. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking of is when I was little, I learned how to surf. And when I learned how to surf, I remember, and maybe for those boogie boarders out there, you kind of know the feeling as well. I remember my heart kind of racing as I paddled out to try to catch a wave. You know that feeling where you're out there and you don't know what's going to happen. The wave is more powerful than you in the water. And so you just start paddling with everything that you've got. And sometimes you miss a wave and then you have to start again. And you start paddling and paddling and paddling. And suddenly as you do that, you realize that you're going after a wave that you didn't create. It's something that's bigger than you. It's something that you didn't do anything to produce. And as the wave gets closer, for those who have ridden a wave of any kind before, you know this. As you start paddling, suddenly you're paddling to catch it, but all of a sudden as it gets close, as it gets to about right here, suddenly the force of the wave begins to draw you to it, almost daring you to be a part of it. And as you paddle and you paddle and you paddle, there's a moment where suddenly, as you're about to ride your board or your body or whatever you're riding, suddenly your paddling is not needed anymore, and the force of your paddling isn't needed, and all of a sudden the power of the wave begins to take over, and you begin to ride that wave, and you realize that you're a part of something bigger than you. It's not only the thrill of the adrenaline rush of riding a wave, but it's one of those things where you're interacting with God's creation in a way that only the ocean can do. And so that's kind of how it is to ride a wave, and you realize you're a part of something bigger than you. And as I think about the way God works in our lives, it kind of reminds me of that. You know, because as God is created in the ocean, much like the ocean that keeps churning up wave after wave after wave that we didn't create, I was reminded, and I'm reminded all the time, that God is sending these waves of grace into our lives, one after the other after the other. It's waves of grace. A wave of grace are these touch points where somehow heaven seems to meet earth, where God seems to work in our lives, where God is doing something in the world, and that intersects our lives, and we begin to experience his love in a radical way. That's what a wave of grace is. It's where we experience God's love and God's grace, and it happens all the time. Sometimes it's big things. One of the big touch points for me was when I was in the seventh grade, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ at a camp, much like what we ran for the kids, and we were playing a lot of crazy games, And I decided on that camp that in the middle of that and hearing the word about Jesus, that some of my friends, in fact, one of the guy who is the children's director at the Fountain now, Mike, he was in the room with me that night when I gave my life to Christ. And so was Jonathan and a couple other people. And it was one of those things where God was pulling at my heart, and they became a touch of grace in helping me to experience the gospel. And on that night, I said yes. But waves of grace come in all sorts of forms. You experience them all the time, I know. It could be people in your life that God has placed you, that God has placed in your path, that maybe they help you to take a step closer in your walk with the Lord. They help you to experience Jesus in a new kind of way. I know I've had so many mentors in my life who have come into my life, and maybe they didn't even know they were a mentor, but they helped me to take some big steps, and God kept lining those things up and those people up in order to help to grow me in the faith. And I know you can think of many people who God has placed in your life to make an impact on you. It could be maybe your kids this week were a touch of grace, were a wave of grace, as they came home from camp so excited, teaching you songs that you've never heard about Jesus and jumping around and spinning around and all these things. Maybe they were a touch of grace. In fact, I heard a story where one of the kids came home and told their parent they learned all these bottom lines, which is basically like the main point of the message. And one of the main points is God loves you no matter what. And came home and said, you know what? I want to let you know God loves you no matter what. And I imagine for those parents, and I'm sure many of you heard things like that, that is a touch of grace and maybe a word in a timely manner that God has placed for you. A touch of grace could be times when God provides for your family. Maybe when you're not even expecting it and you're saying, God, I don't know how this is going to all come together, whether it's in your finances or whether it's a door that's opened and God provides. Sometimes a touch of grace, sometimes a wave of grace is when there's an open door that just suddenly comes out of left field. Something you never expected, when all you've encountered is closed doors. Could be in your faith, could be in certain areas in your life, and suddenly God opens up a door out of left field and you know that it's from the Lord. You know what I found too is sometimes waves of grace don't look like it at the time. Some of the biggest waves of grace in my life, the touch points where God seems to be working in my life, are the times when doors have closed. And I look at those doors and I'm like, God, why didn't you help me there? Why didn't you open this door and bless me here? And as I move further ahead in history, I guess, a few days later, a few years later, you end up looking at those closed doors differently, because sometimes those closed doors were waves of grace in your life, maybe protecting you for something. Maybe it was God closing a door so that you can see another door that he was about to open. Sometimes waves of grace end up appearing like closed doors. So we experience them all the time. Another one for me, a wave of grace that I experienced 10 months ago, is when my little boy, Peyton, was born. We'd been praying for Peyton. He's a little cute boy. He's been crawling all around camp this week and everything. Of course, not with your kids. They're in the nursery. So we don't let kids roam around everywhere, just so you know that. But anyway, Peyton, when I saw him for the very first time, it was a wave of grace for me. And it was something that kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, and I didn't expect it. You know, because you're ready to go. You don't know what's going to happen. You got to be a new father. And all of a sudden, I laid eyes on my little baby boy for the very first time. And it was one of those things where I had no clue what he looked like. I didn't know what he liked and what he disliked. He didn't really know me. We knew each other's voices, or he knew my voice, at least. And as I looked at him, it was one of those things where I realized I completely love this perfect stranger. Like, I don't even know who he is. Like, he's my son, and I love him more than anything. And I was reminded in that moment, in a new kind of way, of how much our Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. I got it at a new level. And I thought it was crazy how God the Father would send his son Jesus, who he cared about so much, into this world to live among us and to die on the cross and to raise again and to put him through all that. And it just made me realize how much God really does care for me. Because God knows every hair on our head and every one of our names. He created us and knows everything about us. And if I loved my son before I even knew him, imagine how much our Heavenly Father loves us. It's a wave of grace where God is touching, where eternity is touching earth. So today I want to talk with you about a wave of grace, a wave that God was creating, a wave of grace that God was creating for the people in the book of Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn in the Old Testament. If you don't, no worries. The words will be on the screen. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 is what we're going to be reading. It's a story where God was sending another wave of grace into the life of his people. And as you're turning there, let me just give you a little bit of background to set it up. That's how you have to do a lot of the Old Testament stories, because if you just start in, you miss a lot of the richness of what God is really trying to do. And so here's what's going on. The prophet Isaiah is writing this book. God is telling him what to say. And the prophet's job is every time God gives them a word, they're supposed to deliver it exactly how it's supposed to be. I mean, exactly how God gives it to them. And so Isaiah, God has been saying through the prophet Isaiah, at warning the people of God that basically they're getting ready to face a difficult time. You see, the people of God had been really disobedient to God. God had been loving them and trying to lead them somewhere. And so many times, this happens in my life too, and so many times where God is saying, go here. And I say, well, I'm going to go here. And people kept turning their back on God and following other gods and trying to put their trust in so many other things. And so God was saying through the prophet Isaiah that, hey, there's a time that's going to come where because of that, you're going to be exiled. You're going to be held captive by your enemies, the Babylonians. And you're going to be taken from your homeland and exiled to a foreign land. And he's speaking about a future event that hasn't happened, almost like it's happening right now. And so we know later that in 586 BC, the Babylonians ended up exiling all the people of God away from their homes and basically away. And they destroyed all their temple. They destroyed all their homes. Everything that they knew had been taken away. Homes, families were split apart as they were sent to this foreign place. And the questions that people kept asking during the time of exile, as they looked to God and they said, God, what is up with this? What, we've lost everything. Is this situation hopeless? Is this situation hopeless? We've lost everything that we've worked for. Maybe the closest example that we can kind of feel today is maybe when a natural disaster comes through an area and you see homes that are in rubble, and all of a sudden you had everything that you ever thought you needed, and all of a sudden everything's gone. And this is kind of where they were. And they look at God and they're like, God, is there any hope out there? Is there any way that you're going to take these broken pieces in our lives, that what used to be our lives, and put them back together? And God, is there ever going to be a way for us to eventually go back home? And in the middle of this, as people are losing their faith, as people are struggling and saying, God, can we trust you now? God speaks this word to the prophet Isaiah. I'm going to ask that you remain seated, because we're going to go through different chunks of it. But here's what the prophet says to the people who needed to hear it most. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, and then we'll read 15 through 17. It says this, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you," or summoned you, "by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not be set ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now to verse 15. He continues and he says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." And we'll stop there. This is an amazing picture of how God is sending a wave of grace to the people. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve a second chance. They kept turning their back on God, and yet God was saying, "Remember that I have continued to save you. Remember who I am. I'm still the same God." That was God's message. They didn't deserve it, but God reaches out to them. And he's basically saying, although you've been disobedient, although you've turned away from me, I'm still willing to save you. And so, did you notice, though, God doesn't tell them exactly the playbook. I'm a big sports fan. And I don't know about you guys, but when God is wanting to lead me somewhere, I often want to know all the details. I'm always like, all right, God, so if I'm going to do this, like, what is this going to require of me? Like, if you're going to lead me here, like, how is this going to work out? And God oftentimes calls us somewhere and doesn't tell us all the details, because he wants us to learn to trust him. You know, if there's certain times, I remember when God was calling me to go to seminary in a far off land called Kentucky. It was a place, I didn't even know what I was getting into, but God just simply said, go, this is where you're supposed to be. And I showed up in a place called Wilmore, Kentucky. And if you've ever heard of Wilmore, you get a prize, because it's a little a nothing town. It's only the seminary and college. And I showed up there, the only place that I applied to go, because that's where God told me to go. And I got there for orientation, and I thought, really, God? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Like, there's like horses and cows. Like, there's more of that than there is people. Like, really? And I think God was trying to teach me some things through that time, because I learned so much, and I maybe wouldn't have been willing to go where God really needed me to go, and where God was really going to do a work in me had I known all the details. So God doesn't tell him all the playbook and exactly how each puzzle piece fits together. He simply asks us to trust him. God just speaks into the middle of their worry, and he ends up saying who he is and reminds them of how he's already saved them. Do you love the part where he says, "Do not fear"? I mean, just imagine being like, you're looking around at the rubble and what will be rubble of all of your home and the temple, your family split up, and God says in the middle of that, "Do not fear." That's one of those moments of where you could have a crisis of faith. Do not fear. Like, really, God? I have nothing else to cling on except for you. And throughout all the Old Testament and all the New Testament, and even today, God is on a mission trying to show us, I love you and you can trust me with your life. And so as God speaks to the people, he's saying, look, I'm the one who formed you. I'm the one who called you, who created you. I'm the one who knows your name. I'm the one who, regardless of everything that you've done in your life, I know everything that you've done, and I love you so much enough to claim you as my own, to call you my son and my daughter. I love you more than anything. And he starts reminding them of what all he's done. You know, that's always comforting to, as we're going through something, as we're praying for God to move in a powerful way, to be reminded of what God has done in the past. And so he ends up saying, hey, remember that time? It's like a kid telling a story. he's like telling his people, and he says, remember that time when you were slaves in Egypt, and suddenly I split the Red Sea and allowed you to walk free. And the chariots and the horses and all those things were trying to run after you, trying to take you back and to put you back in slavery. And you remember that time where I freed you and they didn't catch it. They weren't able to capture you. Do you remember that? And they're like, yes, God. Yes, we remember that. He's like, well, you remember that time? It's like telling a story. Remember that time when suddenly I'd promised you all throughout history that I was going to give you a land that I'd set aside for you called the Promised Land. And you had to wait, and you had to wait, and you had to wait. And suddenly one day you were able to walk into that land, and you crossed over the Jordan rivers, and those waves didn't overcome you. Do you remember how I was with you there? And they're like, yes, God, we remember that too. So, Lord, do you remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace because of the way they stood up for their faith? King Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that too much, and he threw them into a furnace, trying to get them to turn their back on God, and they said, we're not going to. We worship the Lord. And through that, God stood with them in the fire, and they were not burned. That's what Isaiah's talking about. And so as he's bringing this up, it's almost like the people are saying, yes, God, yes, we remember that. In fact, God, do that again. Like, we're going to need to be saved. Do it that way. Split the sea. Let us not be drowned. Let us not be burned. Do the same thing in us. And here's what the Lord says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. It says this. After he's talked all about everything that he's done in the past, he says this, forget the former things. What? You just told us everything that you've done. You've reminded us of that. We're ready for you to do it again. And you said, forget about the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You know, there's a reason that God says this. It's because that if we're so focused on what God did in the past, we sometimes will miss what God wants to do for us in the future. Sometimes it doesn't have to look the same way as it used to back then, that God is doing a work in your life right now. And sometimes if we're really focused on the past and the past works God has done, we might miss the plans that God has for us right now and how God's moving in our lives, in our families, in our community right now. And he continues in verse 19. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me. The jackals and owls, who, by the way, as an aside, these are animals who are in the desert. So that's why they say that. The animals honor me. The jackals and the owls, because I provide in the wilderness, where they are, and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, this is the passage that I wanted to share with you about this morning, because I love the imagery of how no matter where you are in any kind of parched land or wasteland or desert, you know, this is not like literal desert. Sometimes it could be a figurative desert that we're standing in. Or like, you know what, God, all I see is oases of things that are no door is opening. Nothing seems to be in my path. It seems like I'm really, really thirsty right now. And what God is saying, in the middle of any kind of parched land or any kind of desert you may be in, that God is willing to send streams in those deserts and to bring water, living water, to anyone who is thirsty. And so all throughout history, they kept wanting to get God to do. God was wanting to do a new thing in their life, but they kept concentrating on the past. They kept concentrating on what God had done before, and it was preventing them from experiencing what God wanted to do in and through them right now. And so they kept pointing back to the past and asking God, God, do that. Do it just like that. Do it the way we've seen it before. And God was saying, don't let the past hinder the way I want to work right now. You know, that's a good word for us as well, because I've found that in our lives, sometimes it's easy to look back at our past, whether it's good or bad, the good things or bad things, and to say, God, that's the way you need to work again, or that prevents me from going where I want to go now. But God is doing a new thing. God is continually sending waves of grace into our life. You know, I was reminded last night, I went to my 10-year high school reunion. It was kind of an out-of-body experience in some ways, because I was like flipping the yearbook back. Getting to see people that I haven't seen. Of course, Facebook has changed the game because now, you know, people that I haven't seen in 10 years, I know where they ate dinner last night, you know, things like that. But it was one of those things where I went there and you know, when we left, it was really neat to just remember all the things that from high school and the people that I was close to then and am close to now. And it's really easy in those times when we're looking to the past to begin to want to stay there, to say, God, that was so good. Like, I wish we could just go back to that time. Like, that time with my kids when they were little. Like, I wish we could go back to that time. That time where we had this job and we were living here. Like, God, I wish we could go back to this time, the way it used to be. And oftentimes, this is what the people are doing with their faith. God, we just want it to be like that. And God was saying, behold, or see, I am wanting to do a new thing. And I want to tell you that for your life right now. God is wanting to do a new thing in your life. And I can say that with knowing some of your situations and without knowing some of your situations, because God is in the business of making all things new. And so many times for the people, in the Bible, Jesus was not just confined to the stories that are found in the Bible. So many people see that, like what God did is confined in this book, that he somehow can't do it in the future. Or sometimes we keep replaying the greatest hits of how God was at work in our lives then and saying, God, and relying on that and saying, God, yes, we trusted you then, but sometimes but for those who believe, Jesus is the power and the presence that's burning inside of us, that's wanting to do a new thing, that's wanting to create waves of grace for us to be a part of in our lives. And so what I found is that the past can really hold us back in two ways. And they're kind of two different extremes. The first extreme is really the wrong decisions that we've made. Our past pain or our past hurts. Sometimes those things can end up putting fences up around. We can put fences up or man-made barriers that we put up that prevent us from receiving the new grace of God. For those who have fences up, we have fences all over my neighborhood. And fences are put up in order to keep people or things out. It's in order to keep some things in and some things out. And oftentimes what happens is if we've been hurt in our past, maybe we go to church and we don't really have a good experience. Or maybe somebody said something and it's in the name of Jesus and we end up saying that's maybe not in line with God's character. And we end up saying, if that's who Jesus is, I'm out. And we put up this fence, this wall that blocks anything from getting in and anything from getting out. And we get to control who comes in and who comes out. Oftentimes we do this in our faith. And what God is trying to say to us is, like waves in the ocean, God is still bringing wave after wave after wave of grace into your life. But we often miss experiencing it because we don't allow God's love to penetrate the walls of our past or the walls that we're putting up of our hurts. And so God is wanting to do so much in your life right now. But we've got to first be willing to take down our fences and allow God's love to come in and do a new thing in our lives. And that really comes down to a point of trust and saying, God, I don't know how this is going to go, but I know what you've done in the past and I trust you to be who you are right now. And I'm going to trust you right here as I lay down my walls for you to come in and to do a new thing and to lead me where you want me to go. Because we know that in the fullness of time, God did the same thing. God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, his son, who came to bring love and freedom and purpose and hope and forgiveness to every single person. And it was available to them then, and it's available to us now. But the old caveat of how we receive it is we won't receive it until we lay down our walls and unlock the gate and allow Jesus to come in. The second way that our past can hinder us is if you followed Jesus for years. Maybe you've been in church for a long time. You've done all these great things for Jesus and all this stuff. Sometimes those past things that we've done can tempt us to become lazy in our faith. That maybe we can rely on the things and the ways that we followed God in the past. The ways that we've gone on mission trips and we've served God and stepped out here, here, and here and say, well, we're done. We did it then, God. And sometimes we end up missing where God wants to lead us right now and what God is doing in our community and with your neighbors and how God wants to use you right now. And oftentimes we can make an idol out of the ways God has worked in us in the past, saying, God, you've got to do it like this. Dictating to God, saying, God, do it like this. You have to do it like this, this, and this, or else I'm not willing to go. And I love what John Oswalt said. He's a great theologian. He said, for Israel, the glorious saving events of the past, with all their details, have become a straitjacket into which each other act of God was forced. So it was like they because God had worked in this way, they were like, God, you have to work the same way again. And so God was wanting, though, in every single way to do a new thing through their life, to do a new thing now. But we oftentimes don't realize it because the details might look different. So I hope the hope that you hear more than anything is God is doing a new thing in your life. And I don't mean that just collectively, but I mean that individually. Jesus is wanting to work in your life. And the people of God, they couldn't recognize it oftentimes of how God was moving in them. And so there's a reason that the prophet Isaiah tells them this. See, or behold, I am making a new thing. And that word see is kind of like, have you ever been to a ballpark with the kids? Maybe it's Sharon Springs Park. And all of a sudden there's a foul ball that's hit and it goes over the fence. And all of a sudden there's a phrase that everybody says. They say what? Heads up. Heads up. Which is a funny phrase because if you look up, it's kind of like you might get smacked in the face with a baseball. They say, heads up. Look out. And so that's basically what it means. Look out. Watch out. Something's coming your way. Be ready for it. Well, when the prophet Isaiah says that, see or behold, it's almost like saying, heads up, God's wanting to do something. You got to pay attention because I don't want you to miss the wave that God is creating because it's a wave that you want to be a part of. God is wanting to do something in your life through his love, and you want to make sure you don't miss it. And so this is the message God is trying to give us. I'm not done moving in your life. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, maybe you've never experienced God doing a work in your life. God's saying, I'm not done moving in your life. I've still got a huge plan for you. I still want to use you right now. So look up, because I want to lead you. I don't want you to miss it. And so like a surfer in the ocean, God invites us to not just sit on the shore as a spectator and just watch the surfers do their thing, watch other people ride in the waves, and just to admire God working in the world around us. Well, he invites us instead to get in the water, to trust him enough to get in the water, to paddle toward him, and to be willing to ride a wave that we didn't create, but somewhere where God is leading us. And so there may be some in here who have never experienced God working in your life like that before. Maybe you've never experienced anything like that, but maybe you've been admiring God's work in other people. How God, why, that's amazing how God is doing that in them, and I haven't experienced that in me. And if that's you, maybe you've never experienced the influence of grace that's penetrating your life. This would be a great day to do that, to ask God to come into your life, to take down those walls and say, Father, I don't have all the details worked out, but I know you do. And I just want to trust you. I want to surrender my life to you to lead it. I'm tired of leading it in my direction because every time I do that, it's not on solid ground. It's on sand. But I'm going to trust that I'm planting something on the cornerstone, on solid ground, on who you are. I want to stake my life on you. And trusting God to do a new thing. And maybe the new thing that God's inviting you to do is to get your feet wet and to jump in the water. Maybe there's somebody here who, maybe there's others who have a personal relationship with Jesus, who have been following Jesus and maybe have been in the water of faith, but are struggling to let God's new wave steer their life. That maybe you're having trouble catching that wave where God is leading you. And I want you to know that God is wanting to move in and through your life. But you may feel like you're just paddling in the ocean trying to stay afloat. Maybe with life circumstances where things are spinning out of control and you feel like you just have to keep swimming and have to keep swimming and have to keep swimming. I want you to know that the new thing that God is wanting you to do is to stop paddling and trying to fix everything. That God wants us to release control of those areas of our life and be willing to say, God, you are the God of all creation. And I want to trust you right now with this and with this and with my situation. And when we do that, we'll find that we become a part of the wave that God is doing. When you stop paddling, the wave just takes over. But it takes us trusting him enough to let his grace propel us forward. There may be some in here as well who have ridden God's wave in the past, who've done that before, and who have experienced God working in a powerful way in their life, but maybe seem to be stuck trying to ride a wave that's already crashed onto the shore. You know, a wave that's kind of ended. Maybe a season has ended. And I want you to know that God is always doing a new thing, and he's not confined to only work in the past. And so maybe God wants you to look toward the sea, to look up, and to see a new wave that God might be wanting to do in your life, a new direction God is wanting to take your life. And so all I know is this, is that trusting God enough to allow God to move in our life is an opportunity you don't want to miss. It's an opportunity. I haven't always known all the details as a pastor, and even planting this church, we haven't always known the details. But I know that as we've taken a step toward Jesus, God has been faithful. As we've demonstrated faith, God has been faithful. And I want to invite you to take a step, to take a walk into the water, or to ride God's wave this morning. As we continue this time of worship, the band's going to come up. And if anybody would like to, says, you know what, today, God, you've been tugging my heart. Maybe you feel like your heart is like a million pounds right now. And you're saying, you know what, I want that. I want that in my life. And I've never seen God work in my life. I'm going to be in the back. And I would love to pray with you to ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you and to redeem you, but also to lead you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue worshiping. And let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this word of truth that you give us from the Bible. God, I pray for every single person in here that they would realize that there really is a wave of grace that you've created especially for them, that you are doing something right now in the middle of their life. Sometimes the chaos around us prevents us from seeing it or experiencing it, but God, you are doing a work in them. And so, Father, I pray that you would give them vision to see what you're doing, what you're up to in their lives and in their neighborhood and their spheres of influence. And God, if there's somebody that's never stepped into that water before, jumped in to experience who you are, God, I pray that today would be that day. As we continue worshiping you, O Lord, we pray that you would allow us to take new steps of faith toward you, to ride your wave. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.